The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Greetings, everyone. It's time for Everything You Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you again here on Tony Curry Radio. Glad to have you in the listening audience, as always. And always, there's tremendous amount of things to talk about. I have gone back and forth on different subjects that have caught my attention, but I think I've got a bit of an amalgam of several of those and have found a way to weave it together. This is not just sitting down and putting some words into the atmosphere. A lot of this is kind of a creative project in some ways, and some of the best shows are the ones that you really kind of tie some things together. So I'm going to really attempt to do that today. So don't think of me as Kip Kiefer telling you everything you need to know. Today, I'm going to put on my Vincent Van Gogh persona and try and paint some colors and some sounds that will make sense to you, and also give you information that you may not have been privy to of things that are happening in our world. I always am skeptical about getting into a lot of rants and tirades about the current situation in our country where it relates to the presidency. Because if you look and spend any time at a lot of my activities in terms of my academic background and my, personal things that I'm very much interested in, the presidency is one of those stories and one of those categories that I just absolutely relish. I have spent numerous hours. When I was a kid, it was not unusual for me, if I was bored in a library or a classroom, to access an encyclopedia and just look up a random president. And I wanted to know everything about their background, how they got to that position, what they did in office. It just was one of these subjects that have always fascinated me. So before telling you the latest headlines about our current president, I do want to enter the disclaimer that I do it somewhat painfully and regrettably, because I have so much respect for the office and the design of our democracy and what the framers intended for the executive branch. The ultimate designation by a representative government, the citizens in that government, to send the right person into the supreme job. George Washington, after the Americans had won the Revolutionary War, largely because of his guile and strategic brilliance, and really just a lot of unorthodox approaches that threw the stodgy British into kind of a loop, despite them having the strongest military in the world. The immediate intention was to put George Washington in a monarchical situation, make him king of America. And Washington says, "What do you guys think we've just been fighting for? I don't want to be king. We don't need a king. We don't need a monarchy. We need a representative government. A government by the people, of the people, for the people." That's why our documents are started with the words, "We the people." George Washington resisted and only grudgingly accepted the designation as the first president of the United States when the Constitution was finally drafted and everything was so brilliantly conceived. So with that being said, I have to say that it is absolutely my opinion, and it is not based on partisanship or ideology or politics, but this right now, we are living in an extraordinary period in the 240 some odd years that our country has been up and running, because right now all of us are experiencing the worst administration in the history of that institution. This guy, Joe Biden, in his prime, at his very peak, and when that was, I don't know, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when he was a committee chairman in the Senate and had some powerful responsibilities, Joe Biden in his prime was, from an intellectual standpoint, from an integrity standpoint, and just from an overall human standpoint, not a very exemplary individual. He doesn't have an extreme degree of intelligence. He has certainly had a long history of, you know, really backing the wrong causes. Amazingly, former longtime administration official in both Republican and Democrat administrations, Robert Gates, in his book labeled Joe Biden, the only guy I've ever encountered in Washington who is wrong about every stance he takes. And he was particularly talking about international matters where, you know, he says Biden has not been correct on the right side of any foreign policy in his career. And this is the guy we put in the White House. Not to mention the fact that that was his prime back maybe in the 90s. Now in 2023, Joe Biden is our chief executive. And every week, you can go on YouTube and see a series of, and they laugh them off as, oh, that's just old Joe and his gaffes. Gaffe is a word where you say something by mistake and, you know, really look dumb doing it. Like the time at a campaign stop, which we highlight all the time, that Joe Biden really lets the cat out of the bag of this new ideological foolishness that these people stand on. We believe in truth, not facts. Well, as I've explained many times here on Need to Know, truth's definition is irredeemable facts. So you can't believe in truth if you don't believe in facts, because facts are what makes it the truth. Truth has been hijacked, the word, to be a narrative instead of the truth. And the narrative is the conclusion that is reached that achieves the agenda of the people that are propagating it. So that's not the truth. The truth is irrefutable facts. And another time when a reporter was asking him some tough questions, Joe Biden inexplicably, and he does this on a regular basis, looked at her and said, well, aren't you a dog-faced pony soldier? What the hell does that mean? And it certainly sounds insulting to me, you know, but he has an absolute pass. You talk about John Gotti, the former mafia boss of New York. They called him the Teflon Don. Biden is absolutely Teflon, because if you criticize him, you are immediately labeled as someone that's practicing ageism or making fun of his different affirmities and frailties. But at the same time, this person is allowed to serve as the commander-in-chief, the chief executive officer of our country, and he doesn't have the capacity to go from one room to another or leave a podium after a speech and know which direction to go or stay on his feet. Last week, or actually it was 2 weeks ago now, you may have seen after finishing up the commencement address at the Air Force Academy, which was laced with all kinds of interesting contentions and points that I'm sure the most outstanding young men and women in our midst that are graduating from such an honorable institution and going in to serve our country, I'm sure they were highly inspired by his babbling and nonsense. But then he took two steps away from the podium and fell straight to the floor. Now, as they tend to do, immediately it got into the discussion that, well, the president tripped over a sandbag that was on, unfortunately, on the stage. Watch the video, folks. It's on YouTube. You can watch it 100 times. There is no sandbag on the ground. And, you know, Terry Quillian, my broadcast partner for a long time, who worked on two White House staffs and was a lead advance person, which means the crew that goes in before presidential visits elsewhere, they'll go into that city for 3 or 4 days with the Secret Service. They will set out basically every step the president will take and choreograph all of the details of the journeys that they're going to be involved in, so you don't have any surprises, like a sandbag on the stage. Now, I asked her, to me, that seems like a really crazy thing to come up with and say, you know, there's a sandbag there. Why would a sandbag possibly be on a stage? And she did correct my impression of that by telling me that sandbags are commonly used behind the scenes. You'll see the nice orderly curtains or, you know, different backdrop decorations in flags or other banners or different things at these events. And she says sometimes to make sure that they hang straight and don't have any kind of droop or, you know, any kind of look that's off, that they will use a sandbag at the base of those to keep them perfectly still. But that being said, the sandbag, she said, would never, ever be on the stage in view, because the whole reason that these people are professionals and just absolutely are consumed with every detail of a presidential visit is to avoid having anything unsightly in the shot. It's all optics, and that would never, ever happen. So it's a total lie. It's like when he fell down the stairs of Air Force One a couple of years ago, and they said a gust of wind knocked him over. Well, it didn't take long to investigate meteorological records of that day, and the maximum wind gust in Washington that particular day, hours before the alleged gust knocked him down, was 8 miles per hour. That was not the reason. He just lost his balance and fell. And again, I am not, the guy's 80 years old. You can't really put a number. Nikki Haley's a presidential candidate trying for the Republican nomination, and she wants to cognitively test every public official that's over 75. I don't like that, because there are 90-year-olds right now that are amazingly cognizant and functional and have no problems neurologically or physically getting around. It's not a question of the number. It's a question of the person themselves. Everybody's individually, ages differently, is affected differently. So this is no reflection on making fun of someone in an elderly position. Gosh, I'm fast approaching having to deal with that in the near future. So I'm certainly not going to be one that's going to point that out. But every time there's some kind of ridiculous statement or some kind of, you know, feeble situation, it sends a loud and clear message to people that would very much like to consume America's wealth and strength and resources, that we have a ridiculously weak leader who is not strong enough in mind and body to execute the very important job of being the chief executive. Now, there were some other things last week that really stood out. He was making actually his first campaign appearance of the year, despite announcing months ago. The basic strategy there is, just like you experienced in 2020, they had the excuse of COVID back then that Joe just couldn't get out and had to campaign from his basement or, you know, secluded areas. But now that excuse is not there anymore. But you still don't see Biden at the podium at big events because they don't want him talking. They don't want him to be seen. He is an absolute nightmare. Again, back to Terry talking about the early days of the Donald Trump revolution back in 2016, when he was first getting close to getting the nomination, then becoming a force in the election, and even in the early days of his presidency. Trump would get up in front of these crowds and get energized and be on script, but as soon as something popped in his head, he would go off script. And I remember one particular speech, he was on a roll and had everybody captivated and was just delivering a real winner. And he's gotten so much better at that since he began in politics, a little rough at first. But the bottom line was, Terry and I were on the phone listening to the speech together. And she said, oh no, he's going off script. And at that time, because he was such a fire plug and it was, you know, maybe capable of saying anything, it made all of his staff sweat. Well, every time Joe Biden gets out of the limousine and goes into the building for any kind of speech or walks into a press area in the White House, they are sweating bullets because there's no telling what he's going to say. Last week, he was talking about, you know, we've got so many great plans and so many things we're going to do. We're going to build a high-speed railroad all the way from the Pacific to the Indian Ocean. Now, think about that for a minute. Now, that is an ambitious project. The Indian Ocean is in some of the remote corners of the world that certainly doesn't require any access and certainly doesn't require a railway over thousands and thousands of miles of various oceans and then land masses to reach the other ocean. That was just a complete faux pas. He meant Atlantic to Pacific, but it came out Pacific to Indian. So that was fodder for a lot of people to make fun of him. He went on in that particular speech the next night from that speech, the next night in an event to try and bolster support with Hispanic voters, which the Democrats are very concerned about, because Hispanic voters as a group, and this is a generalization, but really kind of the MO, these are family-oriented people, they're religious, they really are not comfortable with all this wokeism and all of the gender fluidity and sexual indoctrination of children in schools, et cetera. So they've been showing an inclination to go more and more conservative in their approach politically in recent years. And you want big evidence of that. Look at the Miami race for governor last year, where the impossible was achieved by Ron DeSantis. Dade County, which had voted Democrat in every gubernatorial election for almost half a century, overwhelmingly voted for DeSantis over Charlie Crist, his Democrat opponent. And it was really a turning point that Republicans can win support in the Hispanic community. The same thing is happening in the African-American community. Donald Trump got 19% of the black male vote in the 2020 election. So the tide is turning a little bit. These groups are starting to recognize that, you know, I don't care if my grandfather and my great-grandfather voted Democrat. They're not doing anything for us. We're still in the same impoverished, hopeless position with terrible education and few options that we've been in for decades. Maybe it's time to make a change. So the Democrats are frantically trying to reverse that trend. So Biden had some kind of Hispanic movie night at the White House last Friday and invited a bunch of people to screen some film. And I'm not sure on the details of that. But he made a speech before, and this is the same president whose wife went to a event last year in San Antonio and called Mexican-Americans tacos in the speech. Not exactly a term that I think would be considered flattering. Anyway, Biden goes on and starts talking about all of his great plans for the Hispanic community, which I'm sure are largely falling on deaf ears because they've done nothing for the Hispanic community so far except open the borders and make the areas where a lot of Hispanic Americans live inhabitable now, because there's just mass millions of people, migrants, that are now populating and completely making a mess of those areas because the government has no plan. They want to open the borders. Come on in. We will find some government assistance for you. But people that are working hard, hardworking Americans with an agenda of trying to make it in our country, and they've done it the right way by immigrating legally. And immigration is only defined as a legal process. So what we've witnessed at the border is illegal. And everyone who has come into this country is not here legally. But at the end of that speech, as he rattled on and on, he said, okay, I'm going to have to wrap this up because I'm going to get in trouble. This is the president of the United States. Who is he going to get in trouble with? Dr. Jill Biden, which all of us that have been married can tell you, you can easily get in trouble with your spouse. But that should not be a reason for the president to clam up on this vision for the future, even as delusional and batshit nuts as it is. Is he worried about that? Or is it the puppeteers behind the scenes that are calling the shots? Because anyone who listens to Joe Biden talk, and anybody knows anything about Joe Biden's history, knows that Joe Biden is not the guy at the controls. He is not making the calls. He is saying what he's told to the best of his ability, which isn't very good. And his reading of the teleprompter still is effective enough that he can semi-deliver the message. But again, all those handlers and all those people behind the scenes want to limit the opportunities he has to speak, because out of nowhere, when he said, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. And the last thing he said to a Hispanic audience is, God save the queen. Okay, think about that. God save the queen. That's the slogan, of course, in Britain. Now we don't even have Queen Elizabeth after all these decades. She had passed away. So now King George is in power. So God save the queen is kind of yesterday's slogan. But that being set aside, what queen was he referring to at the end of his remarks to these Hispanic guests? Queen Isabella, perhaps? She was in charge along with King Ferdinand. They gave the financing to Christopher Columbus to come and explore the New World. Columbus thought he was going to a different route to India, and he just missed it by that much because he landed in the Caribbean. But the point of the story is, I'm not familiar with too many queens that have populated the throne of Spain, and I don't really understand, and no one does, there's been people, the White House staff's been asked, what did that mean? Where did it come from? Well, I'll tell you where it came from. The intricacies, complexities, and delusion of a demented mind. God save the queen? What the hell did that mean? So we've got this guy in the White House, and here's the other thing that really struck me last week that I want to try to tie together here and give everybody who has not really paid attention to politics or doesn't really have any interest in civics or American government and how everything is conceived and designed to work, kind of a tie-in to what I'm about to say. As I watched the coverage last week of this evil and corrupt administration pulling the strings to have a former president indicted on 37 counts, 31 of which are Espionage Act accusations. The espionage was invented by presidential order by Woodrow Wilson in 1917 during the outbreak of World War I. And a lot of the reason it was because Wilson had lots of critics imploring the United States to stay out of World War I, which was a European conflict. We really didn't have a dog in that hunt, but it was basically created to persecute and remove anyone who had political opposition to the policies of that administration. And the Espionage Act was used by Wilson in 1918, and it's never, ever been used since. No one's been charged under any provisions of Wilson's Espionage Act until last week when Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor, came up with 31 violations based on the code of something written 105 years ago that didn't really apply then and certainly doesn't apply now. So that's what Trump is charged. And it's not anything having to do with espionage. It's him keeping and maintaining documents that they contend he's not supposed to have. Now, there's been cases in this century and in the previous century, numerous cases of presidents taking records with them when they leave office. Presidents have the ability to classify and declassify documents. But the problem is the Presidential Documents Act did not apply in this case. It was ignored so Jack Smith could go fishing and find something to charge the president, the former president, with. And if this sounds familiar, this is exactly what happens in Marxist regimes and in banana republic countries. You, once again, we believe in truth, not facts. The truth is the narrative they form to fit the agenda, and this is a classic example. But I wanted to say, as I watched the coverage, something really struck me, and this is really the main theme of what I'm trying to get to here as we wind down on another edition. They kept saying, the commentators, and this was on Fox News, this was not on the extreme leftist news outlets. Fox News, of course, a lot more right-leaning, although a lot of their conventional news people that say Fox is totally biased and whatnot are way off their rocker, because the legitimate news people on Fox are pretty down the middle. Bill Hemmer worked for CNN for a long time. Brett Baer is a very fair and strong journalist. There are still some journalistic ethics amongst some of the news people, not the commentary, not the prime timers. I'll concede that they have their own agenda and push very strong ideological ideas. But the point is, I kept hearing the commentators say, well, the government contends. And the key word there is the government. Well, the government's case is based on the government feels. It just struck me, folks, the government. Who is the government in this situation? The government in this particular instance is a special prosecutor who is right out of central casting for this, a left-wing activist all of his political and professional and legal life, who has just been a bulldog of trying to take down prominent officials and failing almost every time. Jack Smith is an NYU graduate who got his graduate degree in law at Harvard. He's right out of central casting, the same Ivy League elitist, you know, silver spoon people that paint themselves as these crusaders for downtrodden Americans, when that's the last people on earth they have any concern with whatsoever. So Jack Smith, the government, built this case, and Jack Smith is only in position to do this because our fearless leader, who I told you before, was instructed to install Merrick Garland as the attorney general. Now, the Department of Justice and the FBI at every turn, and we won't talk about the whole Joe Biden, Hunter Biden corruption case today. There's not enough time. But they have had evidence for 5 or 6 years that they have absolutely sat on, that the Senate Oversight Committee right now, the committee has finally gotten hold of records and shows just a bundle of things that need to be desperately investigated, because it certainly appears, and the evidence backs this up, that we have a guy sitting in the Oval Office who's been selling his influence through his family members for the past, all the way back to when he began as vice president in the Obama administration, and probably years before that in the Senate. They've made millions and millions of dollars, and everybody shrugs and looks the other way, because this guy is installed as the executive puppet in chief of our executive branch, and he's needed in that role so the people pulling the strings behind the scenes can run the show. So the DOJ, which is an appointee of the president, which is a fallacy because this is created by the Congress in 1870, the Department of Justice, which was not a part of our original Constitution or our founding fathers' vision, because they didn't want a bunch of lawyers running around with the complete ability to wreak havoc on the rights and pursuits of life, liberty, and happiness of American citizens. this was a, what they foresaw as one of the big problems. So they didn't create this kind of entity. It wasn't created until Congress did it in 1870 after the Civil War, because there was so much litigation coming out of the war and property disputes and different suits against various governments. It was a terrible mistake in conception and creation. And the main reason is because they have given themselves complete oversight, but they don't have any teeth to enforce anything. If they do issue a subpoena and to look into some misdeeds, those subpoenas just sit on somebody's desk because Congress doesn't have the ability. They're not law enforcement. The law enforcement is what they created. The DOJ, which later created the FBI, which Congress also supposedly oversees. And these individuals running these bureaus are appointed by the executive. And if the president is corrupt and is being controlled by other forces, then you have an absolutely impotent and politically motivated organization, which was the worst fear of the founders. And that's the nightmare we're living right now. So when you talk about the government has made this case against Donald Trump. The government has not done that, because you know who the government is supposed to be by the definition in our Constitution? The government is you, it's me, it's all of us, all American citizens. We, the people, are the government, and we designate the executive to represent us and the representatives of our particular areas that are the House of Representatives and the Senate. And when these entities do not perform their functions and do not have the ability by their own design to perform those functions, we are on a bobsled to hell, folks. We have got to reverse these trends. We have got to do a better job of educating ourselves and getting the right executives and the right representatives to Washington. This whole thing needs to be washed out and started over again. And until everybody wakes up and recognizes this, we are on the fast track to the destruction of our way of life. That's the rant for this week. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't miss later on this week, Tony Curry and I getting together for Kiefer and Curry, another rousing episode. Looking forward to that. I'm Kip Kiefer. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Stay optimistic. We will get through this with our confidence and our faith, most importantly. But the design really needs some tinkering with. And all of us need to kind of put on our apron and become fix-it people to make it happen. I'm Kip Kiefer. We'll talk to you next week right here on Tony Curry Radio with everything you need to know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.